But you were going to say something about what Pat said.
Your point about people becoming aware of the basic facts that they produce the wealth and they do the work, and that the people at the top, actually, that's what they feed off, and that anybody who has wealth and money is at the expense of somebody who hasn't got it. Yeah, so it's like, there's a poor and there's a rich. You can't have one without the other.
Yes.
It all balances out, you know. But it's so obvious to see once you see it. But that is the biggest hurdle that we have to overcome. Is the whole thing about class consciousness, raising people's awareness of that absolutely, you know, situation that's staring them in the face. Why can't they see it? They still don't see it. And you know that it's inbuilt into the system, isn't it? It's inbuilt into it that they won't see it. And there's so many reasons for it. Not just simply because of the propaganda that's fed out by the media every day to make people believe that they're helpless. This sort of learned helplessness that they can't run their own lives. That they need people at the top to run it for them. It's there. It's subliminal. It's everywhere. This whole thing about the stupid masses and the people who are running everything. They need to be there because they've got more brains. They've got more know-how. You know, this whole program's on the telly, The Secret Millionaire, and all kinds of stuff. It just increases people's passivity and powerlessness. But that's all fed into us from an early age, isn't it? Authoritarianism. I mean, from when we're a child, there's always someone above us telling us what to do. You cannot, and through the school system, authoritarianism. And so that is such a brainwash in everybody. Everybody's brainwashed into obeying somebody above them. It's a hierarchical system of obeyment. Your parents, your school teachers, headmaster, hierarchical system, you're at work. The school teaches you that you've got to obey authority no matter what, whether you disagree or not, doesn't bloody matter. Sit down and do as you're told. Same thing at work, same thing throughout. So, you know, it's about, you can't just hand over a society to people who are indoctrinated into authoritarian philosophy and say, you run this business. You know, they've got to have it from the ground up. They've got to be born into that to believe they are powerful, they are people, they can run their own life, etc., etc. So until the philosophy has got to be, the whole structure, hierarchical structure of family, the family system, the school system, we're taught it. That's how we learn our passivity, and we can't see the very things right in front of us.
Adam, do you want to speak about that?
Well, yes, I was thinking, yeah, good. Yeah, when are you going to join us? except that I think you might have misunderstood something Pat said, because you said we can't just have people as they are and suddenly place them into different social contexts with them, which would be socialism. I mean, that's not what we're saying. We're saying that if people are going to change society, they've got to do it themselves. So it's not a question of us sort of getting elected to power and then introducing socialism. Happening. But I would make it. I mean, in the end, what keeps capitalism going isn't the forces of the state. It isn't the forces of repression. It's people's ideas. And as you say, that people think you can't do without bosses. You can't do without betters. You've got to have armies. You've got to have you've got to have money. That's what ultimately keeps capitalism going. It's people's ideas. But fortunately, it's not just us that are working to change people's ideas. Because you've got, well, as long as capitalism lasts, there are social problems. There are people will be dissatisfied, and they'll work out what needs to be done and what's wrong. I mean, the media, if you like, and the propaganda thing isn't all powerful. I mean, one good example of this would be the collapse of state capitalism in Eastern Europe. I mean, there they had a one-party dictatorship, propaganda, this secret police and that. And it didn't work in the end because they what happened? I mean, Poland bread price went up, and they went on strike, and eventually. So, fortunately, they can't keep us down permanently, or can't, you know.
Huh? Could I just add on this business about authority, there has been a big change in attitude to authority, certainly during my lifetime. I mean, you would never have had jokes about the monarchy, jokes about religion and so on. And, the respect that there used to be for the bobby on the beat, as it were, at one time, that's just a sort of as pretty much gone, or to a large extent gone, and the family, as there have been big changes in the family, and not necessarily for the better. I mean, capitalism as it tends to make people sort of separate as individuals rather than in groups. But certainly, as I say, that. There's been a change in attitude to authority, and changes sort of take place. But I mean, people, you have understanding of the fact that people have got to earn their living, and whereas when I was a child, although poor women always worked, it was that the attitude was that the woman only needed a job until she sort of got married and had children. But now. And when a woman was first sort of going out to work after the war, it was additional money, but very soon became an integral part of what they needed to live on. And now it takes two people to people, they get tired. But still, people do find time, to do other things and to take interest. But very often, it's more the sort of the single issue where people think that something directly affects them, and they think they can do something about it. They will then act. And whatever they try to do, it may not be solve the problem, but they're prepared to get up and do it. And so, an understanding of what actually the problem is, that it's the system that has to change. And I think once people understand that they can actually do something about it, then they will. And it's not a sudden process, because some of us have been had these views for more years than we care to think about. But are still waiting to not just standing by and waiting, but still wonder just what it will take to make.
That is the problem, isn't it? That people. At the moment, don't think they can do anything about it, and that attitude has been encouraged. And it's quite a widespread attitude.
I think the authority thing, though. I mean, yeah, of course, there's been Pat's mentioned the monarchy, not really respectful of the monarchy and stuff like that. That there was in the past. I mean, there's cultural things that probably opened that up. Like punk or something that gave that kind of space to not have that kind of respect. But I mean, there are two ways that the non-respect for authority can go. It can go into the sort of nihilistic kind of attitudes, and people talk about what happens in some schools these days as compared to, say, 30 or 40 years ago, when we were all used to quite authoritarian teachers and this, that and the other. If just the respect for authority is, we don't care about anything, we don't care about ourselves, then it's just total nihilism, and that's not healthy either. So, you'd, in my opinion, you'd hope for the rejection of that authority kind of structure, those sort of power relations, was, a positive sort of self-conscious and empowering. All about empowering yourself and the idea that, the strength of your own empowerment is the strength of other people's, and vice versa. So there can be a difference in, there's a dichotomy within that. you know, respect, I would have said. Orwin?
I was just going to say that people's ideas do change. I'm trying to remember, Adam will probably know better than I do, but in 1936, January, George V died, and we had an article for the Standard, which was rather rude about George V, and the printers refused to print it. So we had to drop it out. Now that was, you know, not the kind of upper class doing it. That was the ordinary printers refused to print it because it wasn't respectful enough. We said something about he hasn't done much, you know, really. And in fact, Harold Nicholson said he spent 15 years doing nothing except killing animals and sticking stamps in books. That was his opinion. Whether we said that, I don't know, but we're not respectful enough. Now you can say, or anything, you know, people get up and do comic tales about the Queen, you know. People's ideas do change, there's absolutely no question. And they will have to change, and they will change. There have been extraordinary societies in this world of ours. In South America, there were societies where they thought it was an excellent idea, and it had to be done. You had to choose a certain number of 50-year-old boys and girls every year and kill them in order to propitiate the gods. Well, I mean, that's barmy, you know, and everybody would say, no, it's barmy. And yet everybody thought this is what you had to do. This is what was accepted, because people thought that was the way society had to be run. In the same way, they accept that society now has to be run in such a way that everybody works and 10% get a lot of the value out of it. But people's ideas will change, and that's one example, and will change again. And it is in the changing of people's ideas that we'll get socialism.
I actually think it was King George the Sixth.
Was it really? Well, that was as late as 1952. Yeah.
But, I mean, people tell jokes about King George the Fifth. I remember one of our speakers in Hyde Park, Harry Young, talking about him falling off his horse because he'd been drinking and things like that. You know?
Alan? Yeah, I mean, I think the remark, the turn of the conversation towards hierarchy and authority is really very much to the point and gross inequality. And from that point of view, capitalism just happens to be the economic system that we've lived under for a few hundred years. Suppose that we did away with capitalism, we might have a system which was just as unequal, just as unjust, just as hierarchical. It could be as bad. And so that it is really fairness and justice which matter. I mean, obviously, capitalism is not a fair and just system, but to approach it through hierarchy, authority, fairness and justice is really important. And speaking of words, if I can add something else, I think that the dichotomy is not between socialism and capitalism, but between socialism and individualism. And but that's another whole story.
But I mean, I think we've never claimed that capitalism is the only class society or the only society with exploitation. I mean, obviously, it's the one we're living in at the present time. Yeah. As you pointed out, there have been, as you implied, there's been the feudal society, there have been slave societies, there have been all these things in South America and Mesopotamia and places like that. So, but I mean, you know, capitalism is where we are, you know, is where we are now. Yeah. And, you know, capitalism has created a world society and a world system. So I can't see anything succeeding capitalism that isn't socialism. I mean, I suppose.
Totalitarians.
Yeah, but it would have to be on the basis. It would have to be on the basis of, you know, wage labour, provision for the market, and so on. So it would be an authoritarian or super authoritarian form of capitalism, a bit like it happened in Russia, if you like. I mean, that was still capitalism as far as we're concerned. But it's a very authoritarian type of capitalism, isn't it? It was top-down thing with the vanguard at the top giving orders to people and so
on. Well, some people were afraid that green totalitarianism may take over, and that is a distinct possibility.
Well, it's
totalitarian. Green totalitarian.
Yes. The ecological state of the world gets so bad that
you have to.
There are some leaders who are extremely powerful, and they say we've absolutely got to reduce our CO2 emissions. It may be that three leaders in China, you know, will dominate the world and take the world that way.
I mean, there have been plenty of films made about this sort of thing, isn't there? About ecological collapse and having to have authoritarian things. But I mean, it's sort of based on a theory which might not be true. I mean, these people are predicting collapse because the banking system is flawed and so on. But Greens and people, some Greens, are predicting that civilization is going to collapse because you're going to run out of oil or coal or resources or CO2 is going to get too much in the atmosphere and so on, and they think it's going to happen in a fairly rapid period of time. I mean, I think they're exaggerating, you know, even under capitalism, but it would remain true that if there was an ecological crisis of some sort or global overwarming, the only framework within which it could be tackled, you know, properly and rationally and scientifically would be socialism. As you know, all the resources of the world are owned in common by everybody and democratically controlled. I mean, if you have global warming now and you have to have droughts in some countries and population movements and so on, that would only lead to war under capitalism. So, but I personally don't think that's going to happen. You know, it could happen.
I mean. You know, socialism is a democratic society, so capitalism is clearly not. You have concerns about fairness and justness. I mean, well, capitalism's going to give the opposite of that, your conception of what that is. Don't you think a socialist society would mitigate against your concerns? That's the question I'd pose to that.
But yeah, I forgot to mention that. But fairness comes back to your point over here about the present system is considered to be fair, isn't it? And so what standard?
Or rather, that life isn't fair.
Something like that. Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
So you've got to acquiesce in it. Colin.
Well, following on from that point.
Yeah.
Is it the case then that? No, you've probably discussed this before, but often hear it said as well, that changes will only come about when they're driven by crisis.
Well, yeah.
It's called the Big Stink Theory. But is that? Do we really have to wait until we've dug ourselves into a huge, big hole?
Well, no, I mean, this you're right, this has been discussed among socialists and others. You know, do we need an economic crisis? Or an ecological crisis to get people to act. I think, need is a... I mean, if there is an economic crisis, I think there'll be more socialists. People, but there could be more... There's no guarantee that the outcome is going to be, you know, going to be socialism, because, you know, in a crisis, people want an immediate solution to their problems, and just as likely to turn to economic nationalism and authoritarianism and that sort of thing.
If it's shown that most of our problems have been caused by elites and minorities, then, as Alan was intimating, maybe people then would be more open to ideas of having a non-hierarchical libertarian society where we're organised according to networks, decentralised regions. In that way, we could start introducing, probably not anarchism called that, but anarchism socialism. If the finger was pointed at the behaviour of the 1%.
But before we can decide whether it's going to be centralised or decentralised, what future society is going to be like, we've got to establish its basis as common ownership and democratic. Once you've got that, then human beings are in fact free to decide the degree of centralization.
Then people have to be convinced of the need to change the rules by which society.
Well, they could be convinced to change the basis of society from minority ownership to no ownership or class ownership. That's the basic change.
It talks about the evaporation. I prefer the word evaporation of money. Yeah. But people are very wedded to private property.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean by private property? You mean their personal possessions?
Yeah, this is another difficult.
Well, what's wrong with that? I mean,
and that's what I'm saying. People like the possibility of owning stuff. Their house, a bit of land. They think that brings them security.
Well, yes.
In fact,
it doesn't bring them security and happiness, but they're more secure. They're less insecure within the present system of society. I mean, I would think of it, obviously, when we're talking about, we don't talk about abolishing all private property of possessions. We're talking about abolishing or ending or replacing class ownership of the socially operated means of production. I mean,
yes.
And if you talk about free access, people have got free access to what they need. But I think in a socialist society, the concept of use will replace the concept of ownership.
Yes.
I mean, people will have a house where they live. That'll be theirs to use as long as they want it. And same with other things.
That would still need a framework within which allow it to operate.
Yes.
I'll go so far as to say that we really do need to recreate the community.
Well, yes.
Visible, physical location.
It's what
we're all individuals.
It's what we were talking about, before.
Yes, but this is very practical to create community centres serving their own catchment area as we reduce and get rid of centralised government.
Well, nothing against that, but you can do that. Within the system, right? Without getting rid of the system, people behave in these sort of individualistic and apparently selfish ways because that's logical within the system.
Yeah. Well, let's take for example Sheringham, where I live.
Yeah.
If I went around distributing leaflets saying vote for me in the next election, it might be the Sheringham Transition Party or something like that. And I'm saying to them, what we want to do is to recreate the community, and the only way to do that is to transform private ownership of land and property into community ownership. I don't think I'm going to get much response.
Get a response.
People
love their houses, they love their properties.
Yeah, but that's what just comes back to the mystification that we're talking about. But people say, it happened over the mansion tax and the tycoon tax. People thought, if they start with them, it'll end up with us. But the people who've got the real property, the people that own land and industry, they've convinced other people that they've got an interest in supporting their huge ownership. I mean, this is what. Isn't it what Mrs. Thatcher and the right to own and all that sort of thing to get people to be house owners and they would think they got a stake in society and so on to build up support for the present system? But
my new party is not going to suggest it's just in sharing that be through the whole country, the rest of the world.
But it doesn't sound much different from what we do at election time, actually.
Yeah, but weren't you saying that you were going to do it for them?
Yes, that was the.
Yeah. That's the.
This is a suggestion of a framework into which people can then put their own details.
This is our election manifesto.
That's a bit similar to what we're saying
for the elections in London. It says it's up to you. We say we're not going to do anything for you. You've got to do
it. It's up to them, up to general public. We could wait forever.
We're on the way.
You've established in 1904.
Four members joined and no members left.
Wow.
Project that into the future, clearly.
Eventually.
So we're on the way. No, but it's always interesting. I've been to Socialist Party meetings where, pointed out the advantages of socialism, and the people at the back I can't believe I... Well, I'm in favour of private property. And you look at them, they haven't got 2 acres to run. It's amazing. No, private property. He hasn't got any. So he loves his child. He hasn't got any bloody private property.
My neighbours want to come to a socialist party. Yeah.
I'm the socialism. You'll have a share in what would it... What more could you have except what you want to eat, what you want to wear, and a roof over your head? Nobody could have more than that.
Security and happiness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sandy.
Yeah.
We've got about 5 minutes, I think. Well, we had 5 minutes 5 minutes ago, so we'll have 5 minutes.
About economic crisis and that that people are kind of we don't want to get to that point before any changes. But what about I don't know how you, what your thoughts are on conspiracy theories. On the conspiracy, which that these economic crises are in fact planned beforehand, and they're not just a natural phenomena. That they're actually, you know, they're actually manufactured in order to for some people elites to get enormous profits. By people, by lots of people losing their property, etc., etc. That's what happened in the Great Depression in America in the 30s, where you know, properties were bought up for a few dollars, you know, huge fast, which made enormous profits. So yeah, so that, like I don't actually. I'm very sceptical of actually what is presented as what is actually happening. What is actually happening, we don't know.
But
do you know?
Well,
I
agree with you that crises are not natural phenomena. They're not, you know, they're not sort of like earthquakes and things like that. But I see the assumption that a conspiracy is that somebody is in control and somebody can decide how the economy functions and how it doesn't function. But I mean, there's no evidence for that. In fact, it's the opposite, because, you know, governments think they can control the way the economy works, but they don't. You know, they get elected to power saying we'll do this, and then they have to do U-turns because the economic system. But I mean, I think what you're trying to suggest is that maybe there's behind these economic things that blow governments off course is some sort of conspiracy by people. I don't think I go along with that. I think it's built into the system that there's going to be crisis, and it appears to be that people are organising, but I don't think they are. I think because not even the capitalists are controlling their own system.
That's where I'm confused. Where there's a kind of it's up for grabs, because I tend to be going towards the understanding that that these things are created, that it's not just, and maybe Marx didn't fully understand who the hell was in charge even then. It looked like it was some kind of supply and demand issue, but which it appeared to be. But what it appears to be, you know, is what maybe it's presented as. What's really, you know, there's a lot of hands on the whole situation, manipulating this situation of scarce resources, because there has to be scarce resources in order for the capitalist system to continue, and also the production of fear. The production of fear is vitally important. You know, I don't actually know what is going on. I don't believe anything in the papers, anything on the telly, or anything.
Yeah, but, well, the conspiracy theories assume that there's a group of conspirators. Now, there are conspiracies. I'm sure some people, like I was saying about the failure of Greece, there's some people that the hedging do make money out of an economic crisis, but I don't think they could, you know, they are deliberately, you know, causing it. The thing about capitalism is
the overlords of the whole world.
Yeah, well, I don't know if they're going to be the Illuminati, or I don't know if they're going to be the Elders of Zion, or I don't know who these people might be. But I mean, there is, people think with the Bilderberg Group and things like that, where these people get together and they discuss issues. I mean, that's what they do. They get together and discuss issues that are going to come up I don't think they actually plan what's...
But you don't know. Have you been there?
Well...
Have you been to a Bilderberg meeting? Has anyone ever?
Yeah, somebody has, yeah.
Apart from the
but we don't need.
No. Tom, do you want something to say? Get your hand up.
I was going
to
say something, but I don't think it's very important.
Okay.
No, I don't know exactly what I want to say.
Okay, do you want to round up then, Pat?
That's not my opinion.
Sorry.
Yeah, round up.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah?
I've rounded up.
Yeah.
I've rounded up.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much.